here's the deal. This year, January of 2009, federal health insurance premiums went up an average of 7%. Now, averages, as we know, are confusing because you got 250 health plans. They take the average of the six largest. But at any rate, so some went up a whole lot, some not so much, but the average was 7%. But that wasn't so bad because federal retirees got a 5.8% cost of living adjustment, and federal workers got a healthy pay raise as well. So those pay raises more than offset the premium increases, because you're, even if it's a smaller amount, it's on a larger pot of money. This year, however, coming up in 2010, federal workers are in pretty good shape. They're looking at a pay raise of anywhere between 2% and 3.4%, and you know, it's still to be decided, but they're going to get a pay raise, unlike most Americans these days.
That's true.
Federal retirees, however, are looking for a pay raise of 0%, and this is something I predicted a long time ago, and a lot of people ignored it because they thought, can't happen because things are going so well. But we were in a period of deflation, and now we're in a period of very low inflation. And the way the numbers come together, they're going to get a 0% cost of living adjustment in January. So let's assume a modest increase in health premiums, say 6%, which many people say would be modest nowadays, on these people who will suddenly, for the first time since they've been retired, will be on fixed incomes. Because every year they've had an inflation adjustment. January 2010, they will not get that, nor will people who get retired military pay, military retirees, or people who get Social Security, which is one in every six Americans. So a lot of people are not aware of this yet, and they're not aware of the consequences to it. But a lot of things are going to go up, but for many of them, their basic pension, the money they have to live on, is not going to increase for the first time in years, if not maybe ever.
So the pension cost of living increase depends on a lot of factors in the economy. Health care is not one of the factors they take into account.
It is one of them, but it's the consumer price index. As you know, there's a dozen or so consumer price indexes. There's one called W for workers and one called U for urban areas. But the Department of Labor, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, has this market basket, and they say, okay, refrigerators, television sets, college educations. And they take in a number of things, and they say, how are they doing? Are they going up or down? And nearly always, of course, they go up. Medical inflation, as you well know, is the greatest one. It goes up dramatically every year. But they take this marketplace, massage it into mysterious ways, and it becomes the consumer price index. And then the CPI determines the percentage increase that the retirees get. In fact, if I can plug the column today, if folks will go to my column, the Federal Report, on our homepage, there is a chart in the column that shows how the CPI works. And if any of you figure it out, let me know.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. Well, as you say, it's a market basket of things. And if you look at energy, that's been bouncing around a lot, but it's fundamentally, it hasn't really risen that much. And certainly nobody's cost of housing should have gone up.
Well, and excellent point. The retirees this year, in January, got a 5.8% cost of living adjustment, but that was based on that spike in energy prices last year, you know, this spring and summer. But all of a sudden, people were talking about $400 a barrel of oil. Well, it fell to 40. Mm-hmm. And so we literally went into a period of deflation there. And I think there were 3 months in a one period when it was actually living costs were going down. And now, according to this chart that's in the column today, we are 2.1% in the hole toward the next cost of living adjustment. Now, the good news is the annuities won't go down.
They'll never cut your retirement.
That's right. So it's safe, but it sure isn't going up.
And so are there any strategies that people can undertake to overcome some of these increases in health care
premiums? Great question. Yeah. The open season is coming up November, December. And as usual, and I'll have them and you'll have them, we'll all have on our various shows different experts. I've already lined up Walt Francis to do them. He's the world's leading authority on federal health plans. One of the problems with the federal health program, it covers 9 million people. It's the largest civilian program in America.
Wow.
9 million people, probably half the people in D.C. I don't think anybody that you know or I know doesn't know somebody who's in it or who's in it.
I think you're right, yeah.
You know, it's just impossible in this area not to. There are 250 plans in the program. Everybody is eligible for about 20 to 30 plans, which is no strings attached, no pre-existing conditions, no age qualifications, nothing. You can switch during the open season. People are really going to have to shop this year. We say this every year, and it sounds like a tease for the program. And while it is that, it's also very important that people check out plans. Of all those people in the health programs, only about 6% a year switch. And most of them are very young, very savvy people, and they're jumping around from HMOs to HMOs. But retirees in particular are going to have to do some shopping in this open season if they want to keep their premiums manageable.
And over the years of observing this, have you found that these different plans, and you said there's 250 of them, but say a person's eligible for a given 30 or 40 of them, do they tend to compete with each other? Do they try to lure people away from
one plan to the other? It's an interesting process. Because the huge universe, you have a lot of old sick people in it. They're retirees. And, you know, statistically, as you get older, you use more health care. And they can't turn away anybody. You know, a lot of companies do that or have pre-existing conditions. They can't do it. So the health plans, what they mainly try to do, they want to get young, healthy people in who won't bleed them to death, and they kind of subtly hope the retirees will go away, but of course they don't. The majority of federal workers and the vast majority of federal retirees are concentrated in one of the Blue Cross plans. Mm-hmm. And Blue Cross this year went up, one of its very popular plans went up, it was a double-digit increase, and a lot of people had second thoughts and moved into another Blue Cross option that was that many people said was as good or better, and the premiums were lower. But they are going to have to do some shopping.
It's interesting because of this health care debate that's going on so widely in the country, and really a federal plan for regular people out there in the public, I don't think it ever matched the economics that the federal plan has for its own employees because, let's face it, even as they do age, it's still a relatively rarefied bunch of people that constitute the federal workforce and retirees.
My mother was a retired federal worker, and she developed Alzheimer's, and it was, you know, a bad couple of years there. But between her Social Security, her Medicare, and her federal health plan, she had almost no out-of-pocket expenses. Now, the nursing home was different. But, yeah, federal workers are in the catbird seat when it comes to health insurance, and this is what ticks off many people in the private sector. Those who understand this system look at Congress and they say, hey, Senator so-and-so, you've got the best health plan going, and your employer, which is me, the taxpayer, pays 72% of the premium. So it's a very, very interesting dynamics there.